Dylan and Eli, Michael, Yedidya, Ellie, Shai Menachem Yosef, Arye, Ruben. Okay. So I hope some of you have the Marmakomos. What I thought we would do this morning is to discuss. There's been hundreds of tshuvos, of topics written, of shilas that have come up regarding Corona, regarding the time that we're into. And Be'ez Hashem, you know, once this time period finishes, they will be published in Sfarim, so that in hundreds of years from now, people will look at the tshuva and learn from them. Right, just like we learned from, there was an epidemic, you know, in the days of Kiv Eger, it was a plague, and there were different tshuvas written at that time for the interesting shilas that came up. But obviously, in our time period, there's been many tshuvas. There is a sefer ready out now, but what I gave you is just five. Again, Rav Asher Weiss came out with three volumes already online. Rav Schechter has, but I just took a few of Rav Asher Weiss's and sent them to you. Five shilas we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about the shilah, and before looking at the answers, I'll ask you, what do you think? Right? They used to be, when I was growing up, and I used to watch football, by the 2-minute warning, right before the 2-minute warning, there was something called You Make the Call. You ever hear that? You Make the Call? It was like this, I don't know, it was an ad for something, and they'd give you the play, and it wasn't clear what the halacha should be. You know what the refs were going to say. So they'll give you the play, then they'll go to the commercial, and then they'll come back and they'll tell you, you make the call. So that's what we're going to do a little bit. We're going to be, you make the call, you figure out exactly. Some of them are very serious shilas, and some of them are more seems technical, but the underlying are very yesodistic things. But again, these are the shilas. If you ask this, Rav Asher Weiss was asked these five questions. Again, many of the poskim of Bisman Hazeh have discussed this, but we'll start off with a shaila that seems somewhat technical, but it's fascinating. It's about a minna. The first shaila that he was asked is, Hamispalel Yimatzibur. Again, this is all on the sheets that I sent you. If you have them, and if not, I'll read them. Hamispalel Yimatzibur Barrio Bishmiya Technologit. You're taking part, participating in a minion via Zoom. So a big shiloh is about what you're allowed to do by a Zoom. Are you allowed to be part of a minyan? Are you allowed to answer, can you do birchas hagomel by Zoom? Can you, sheva brachas, right? A bris milah. Could somebody on Zoom, let's say grandparents, these were serious shilohs, they wanted to be mechabit grandparents who couldn't come to the bris, could they say the bracha of the bris there? Could they name the baby over there? Can they, could you get one of the sheva brachas if you're not at the wedding, if you're doing it by Zoom? These are serious shilas. See, it's a little more, it's a shilah about a minim. And that is, let's say you assume you're not really part of the minyan, you can't count for a minyan if you're not there. But there is a minhag that I think many are familiar with, that before Kriya Shema, we add in three words, Kel Melech Ne'eman. Kel Melech Ne'eman. We add in, why do we add in those three words? Anybody know why? Why do we add in Kel Melech Ne'eman?
We want to get to 248 for the last two weeks of Hashem.
We want to get to 248 because, you know, there's Ramachi Barim and there's 245 words in Shema. So we add on three to get to 248. But that's only when we daven by ourselves. We have to add in Kemal Nehman. When we daven with a minion, the chazan repeats Hashem Elokeichem Emes, right? The halacha. The chazan should repeat it. And therefore, we get through with the chazan. What about if you're listening and you're participating in a minyan via Zoom? He was asked, is that enough? You hear the chazan shir, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So you're not mamish there, but you hear it. So do you say, Kel Melech Ne'eman? Halacha l'maaseh, you know how to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. So this is an ancient custom that goes back, that we say it, even though you're in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema, right before Shema. So we say, Kel Melech Ne'eman. But in this case, would you say it participating via Zoom or not? So what do you say? What do you say? Do you have to say it or not? Can you say it? Do you have to say it? What do you think?
Just post in the chat.
What?
No.
No one wants to do
chat. We're not going to do the shuvah unless there's some thoughts by the...
Shouldn't be a problem, Rabbi.
Right?
Why are you playing the chat?
No, not that he. They're coming from a Sephardi perspective, so they say Ashkenaz. Anyway, they repeat. But Ashkenazim, right, do not repeat it except the Chazan. And the question is, what should he do? He hears the Chazan say Hashem al Gechamemes. Is that good enough to get to his 248? Or should he say Kelma Abema?
Wait, Rebbe, the Chazan repeats Hashem al Gechamemes, the person doesn't do it also?
No. Ashkenazim,
we do. Okay, fine.
Only the Chazan does. He does not repeat it. So what do you say? Who's
Is the Chazan being yod to him by saying Hashem alikim hamemes, or is it just that he hears it?
Oh, that's the yisod. So Rav Asher White says, what is this minhag? What's the root of this minhag? Is this like a shomea kaona when I hear the Chazan say it? So he quotes the minhag. The minhag was quoted already in the Ramah. Well, we think it's just a achronish custom to get to the 248. It's in the Ramah, right? The Ramah says in Siman Samach Aleph, he quotes Shekach Noagin. The Marshal he quotes was against the Minog. It's a hefsik. It can't be mafsik in Birchas Kriya Shema, right? For anything. There's even just to mention. I might have mentioned this before. Even Friday night, right? Friday night there is a Minog, right? We have Sekim and Birchas Kriya Shema. So we say Hashkivenu because that's already mentioned in the Gemara. Gula Rechta. We have Hashem Svasei Tiftach. That's Tila Rechta. What about all the other Izkurim, the other things that we mentioned? V'shamru b'nei Yisrael as Hashabbos. But how are we allowed to mention that? That's not in the Gemara. So that's a question in the Poskim. That's in the Minhag Agra. In Yeshiva, do they say it? Probably not. Right? Do they say V'shamru?
We say it.
Everybody can just leave their thinking for quiet.
They do say it.
B'shamru. In Yerushalayim, they don't say it. They follow the Minhag Agra because any hefsik is a problem. But why is the Minhag of saying B'shamru the Rishonim? The Torah quotes B'shamru because if we keep, the Torah says, the Mepharshim say, if we keep two Shabbosos, the Gula is going to come. So we're allowed to say B'shamru B'nei Yisrael as Shabbos. And then you have to extend that to the Yomtiv and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But either way, to be mafsik in Birchas Kriya Shema is a serious thing. That's why the Marshal rejects this whole custom. And he says that we shouldn't say it. But the Minhag is to do it, to say Hashem al Gechamemes by the Chazan or Kel Malach Ne'aman. And therefore he says, it depends exactly what Eli said, says Rav Asher Weiss. What are we doing? What are we doing when we answer something? To say Amen by Zoom, there's no problem. To say Amen by Zoom. And it counts like an Amen. It's not meaningless. Right, let's say that this ever happened to you. You're watching your parents' wedding video from 25 years ago, from 30 years ago, and you hear the brachas and you say Amen. Right? Is that meaningful at all? Bracha was said 30 years ago. Maybe the great-grandfather who said it is no longer with us. Can you answer Amen to someone who's not living? Right? So that Amen, maybe not. But if it's live, if it's a live Amen, says Rav Asher Weiss, it's no worse than the Gemara in Sukkah. Hanafas Sudarin. Remember that Gemara? The shuls in Alexandria were huge, and you couldn't see. You couldn't hear. So they used to wave flags to let everybody know when to answer. You know where they use this to nowadays? Again, I hope at some point this year we could do it. In the Bell Shul in Yerushalayim, they built this humongous shul, 7,000 seats when they open up everything. So you can't hear the Chazan always. So they have like a banger on the bima to let everybody know when to answer. So you don't hear the Chazan. So you can still answer. So says the Rosh Hashanah, to answer Amen to a bracha on Zoom, you can't count for a minyan on Zoom. But to answer Amen, it's no worse than seeing the flags that they used to fly. You can answer Amen. But the question is he being motzi like a shomea ka'one, right? Like, yes, I'm Megillah or something like that. Or is not being motzi, he's just saying it, and you're hearing it. And hearing it is enough for your kiyum of the minhag. So he's paskins that lo yarati kez lachri bazeh. I'm not sure. Efshar, that you hear, maybe Zoom is low klum. He says, better to say Kiyam Alach Ne'ama. He says, better to say it, even though it might be Nechshav Ehefsik, but he said, better to say Kiyam Alach Ne'ama, as if you're davening B'yachidus, even though you have a chazan. But he says, I would say it in that case. Okay, that's one tshuva, one discussion that he had. So the next one, though, is a very serious Shiloh. And it might have come up. You might have heard about Shilohs like this. A bar mitzvah boy. A bar mitzvah boy prepares for months and years for his bar mitzvah. And the Shabbos of his bar mitzvah, the shuls are closed, and he lives in an area where they don't have any outdoor minyan. He does not lane. He does not lane. He is crushed. He is broken. Is there anything to do? We can't do anything at Shabbos. So we've had bar mitzvahs in our shul. You do it in yards. But this is a case where the kid prepared, and he can't lane. Right? There was no minyan. There was no minyan in the shul. So the question is there any option of what to do? Meaning what? Meaning the first Shabbos that shuls are open, that it can get to a minyan, is there a way for him to lane his parsha?
Which number Shabbos is this after?
Let's say it's 3 months later. Let's say.
What would be the problem?
What would be the problem? You tell me. It's not the parsha of Shavua.
So?
You have to lane the parsha of the week. You can't just lane the parsha you want.
Afterwards. You're able to practice from a Sefer Torah for a bar mitzvah that's in a month.
Okay, that's, first of all, that's a question, but that's like taking it out when nobody's there, practicing in private. Are you allowed to, in any way, take out the Torah, and it'll be part of the Tila? Yeah, Dylan.
That's true. If I remember correctly, some people say you can do it, and some people say can't. Some people only limit to doing like one extra one a week, or only 1 week after because of tashlumin by tefillos. Same idea.
Right. So for sure, on a tzibur level, if a tzibur wants to make up the tefillos, the post can talk about that. That if you miss 1 week, the following week you could do one long aliyah. Like sometimes it happens when the boys come back to Israel after Ben Hasmanim, they missed a week. If Israel's a week ahead, so that the first aliyah, when they get back, they'll lay the whole parsha from last week and into this one. But this is totally out of order. This is a parsha that you're going to lane, that's not in sync. So the question is there any way to lane it in shul? He wants to lane it in shul. He says that the Shiloh was that the boy is going to be broken, and you're worried about his ruchnius for future years. That was the Shiloh. Bim lo yuchal igros v'parsha yelo mapach nefesh gadol. You prepared and prepared, and nothing's happening. So what do you do? What do you do? What are the options?
Can you give him after?
Could you give him after and do what by after?
I mean, the same thing as what you do for a chodesh or any of one of the other ones. So I don't know if you'd make a bracha.
So
because after is just an extension.
Could you make up your own after? Right, maftir is an additional aliyah that we had on, the Gemara says, in order to connect it to the haftorah. So are you allowed to make up your own maftir? I mean, those dalit parshios go back to the times of the Mishnah.
No, obviously not.
Right,
not
we're allowed to do that.
Weeks, but like,
not, what?
Like, you're not replacing Zafar, which is Daraiso, with some kid's bar mitzvah parsha 2 months later, but...
But we're still replacing, there's a takanat rabbanan to lane the parsha every week, in order that you're supposed to lane. And this is going to be out of order. What if I love Parshas Vayigash? So I'm just going to lay Vayigash every week.
But they can't do that. It's Sibor to hear the Parsha that you guys missed, no?
There is, but as Dylan said before, there's an idea of making it up the following week. More than that, Me'ikar Adin, one doesn't really have to make it up. You miss it, you miss it. You're bonus.
Not even the same Sedra?
There's a Chobos at Sibor, exactly.
Not even in the same Sedra?
In the same, what, in the same Sefer?
Sefer, yeah.
If it was weeks later, make it or did not. I mean, you have to make it up more than one.
Just repeating what I heard from
all anybody else? From any other,
If, I mean, I don't know, the way that he's making...
I don't hear him. Am I the only one? You hear him too?
Yeah, we lost connection too.
You did? Yeah, I'd love to hear what you're saying, but I just don't.
The way
there. You got to go to a yeshiva with good internet connection. No? Okay. Anyway, so he quotes the questioner. Anybody here from Edison? Anybody here live in Edison? Edison, New Jersey?
Yeah.
Who lives in Edison?
Eli.
Oh, Eli, you live in Edison? Okay, so this question was asked by Rabbi Luban. So he was asked this question. He asked Rav Asher Weiss. He said that he heard from Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter and Rav Asher Weiss are friendly. Do the Gdolei Hador. He said Rav Schechter suggested to take out two Sifrei Torah the first week back. And the first one laying regular. And the second one, exactly what Yaakov said, the second one, instead of usually you have maftir, you lay the last aliyah again, lay the entire parsha for maftir, Rav Schechter said. And then the haftorah always goes by the maftir. So the haftorah, the kid who laid his bar mitzvah haftorah, since he laid his whole parsha for maftir, so that's why he'd be able to lay the haftorah. Kishem she'ef shalosim al shiva kruim, just like you get to add on, you let out hosafos. Rav Schechter's chiddush is not just hosafos in the laning itself, but also hosafos in the parshios that you lay. That's what Rabbi Luban quoted to Rav Asher Weiss from Rav Schechter. And so Rav Asher Weiss says, I didn't see Rav Schechter's words inside. Rav Schechter has, I didn't get to go through it, he has also hundreds of pages of tshuvas on these topics. But Rav Asher Weiss doesn't like that option. Dylan.
I believe Rav Schechter says that before you do something like that, you should ask the tzibur for permission because it's
okay. I mean, it could be. He doesn't quote Rav Schechter inside, so I'm not really going to focus on that part of it. But yeah, Rav Schechter again. Maybe next week we'll do some of Rav Schechter's tshuvas. Yeah,
Rebbe. I know Rav Soloveitchik used to when he used to miss the parsha because he used to come from Boston, whatever it is, but he used to ask the tibor, like Dylan said, they lean this parsha over and everybody would obviously say yes, but then they would do two parshas.
Right, so I just don't know if he did that even in a case where it was out of order. Meaning he would do that, let's say he would miss, he would miss a lading on a Monday. So that mincha, he would come in and ask the tzibur, you know, I missed mincha this morning. Can I lay this? Here it's like 3 months later, let's say, out of order. But yeah, it will be the same yisod. The same yisod do they mind. So, but Rav Asher Weiss assumes that he thinks maftir is a din in just laning again what you just did. It was added on as a takana. You know, there was a time when there was a xera that we couldn't lane. So we had to have haftorah connected to something related to the laning. And then once we were able to lane again, Chazal said, you know what, keep the haftorah and keep the laning. But he does not think that the maftir should be an option. But he says, I have to think of an option because this kid's going to be heartbroken. Again, sometimes ain't brera. Sometimes there's a difficult situation in halacha and there's nothing to change. But I have to, if there is an eitzah, I have to find. So he says, what you should do is, even though it's, I guess, only second best, after Musaf, just take out a Torah. And the kid can lane without prophets. And he says that's all. According to Rav Schechter's approach, you can really like, you can feel like he's making a bracha as part of the laning. So Rav Asher Weiss wasn't comfortable with that. So he said, he quoted that it should be a take it out afterwards. And then he gets into the issue of, is that enough of a Torah? You know, we think, you know, like in our generation, taking out a Torah is like, okay, you take out a Torah for whatever you want. There are halachas. You can't just like move a Torah for no reason. You know, even to go to a base oven, folks can talk about. For a laning. You know, there is an idea of laning to having a kvias there, having an aron. There is a minhag of having to lane it three times in a base aven. That's really has no, we're unclear where that comes from. It's not in the early sources about having to something. But either a tzorich, he assumes for this kid it's a tzorich gadol, and therefore he thinks he would allow it as long as he goes through other details. As long as the rabbi has to know his shul, and this is a yisod that he ends with. He said it can't be viewed as Well, you know what you see from here? If the rabbi wants to figure out a solution to a halachic problem, there's always a solution. And therefore, look what he did. He put waiting at the end. He says if you're in that type of shul with people with that attitude, then one has to be very hesitant to change anything. You know, there's a terrible slogan of certain, I don't know if it's around now, but when I was 20, 30 years ago, it was a slogan, where there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. That was the slogan. And where there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way, and that's not true. You know, there could be a rabbinic will, but there's not always a halachic way. It's up to the rabbis to try to figure it out. But that's what people use for aguna. Figure it out. The woman's going to get remarried. Figure it out, rabbi. You know, find me a solution. Sometimes, mamzerus. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. There's not always a solution for every problem. You know, we try, we push. You know, there's a koch datira adif. We try to figure things out. But it can't be that people think that the rabbis could change whatever they want to be able to fit in. So he says, if you're in a shul that's very traditional and realizes what's going on, and it's a tzorah gadol, then fine. But one has to be very, very careful. I'll just mention something else also. And this is about, this is even about a minha. Minhagim are, like we said before, kel melach naaman. So you might, when you heard that question, you might have said like, big deal, kel melach naaman. What, do you have a tshuva about that? What's the big deal? So say it, don't say it. What a detail. But you can have a shiloh about like, which shoe to tie first, if you're a lefty or a right. Yeah, there are shilohs about everything. But we have to be so careful about even minhagim of Yisrael. There is, I remember a couple years ago, there was a shiloh in certain communities in Israel, probably in America too, about Simchas Torah have a lot of different minhagim. A lot of different minhagim of Simchas Torah. So there is a new fad in some shuls, and I'm just saying it's untraditional. I'm not, that which is true, but, I'm not saying, you know, more than that. And that is women dancing with the Sefer Torahs. Women dancing with the Sefer Torahs. So I'm just saying it's untraditional. I'm not getting into the issue right now. You know, I don't think I'm being recorded here, but, doesn't make a difference. But I remember somebody came to me, and in my shul, in our shul, you know, we do not follow that new fad. But I remember somebody came to me and said, "Did you hear in such and such a shul, in a different shul, they're doing away with everyone getting aliyos on Simchas Torah?" The Ramah quotes the minhag of everybody getting aliyos. And, you know, so everybody had their connection to the Torah. And they were doing the way. I'm like, why? They're like, well, it takes a very long time. So the rabbi put it up to a vote. And the members voted that, you know, that they'll be mochel. And whoever wants an aliyah could come before mincha and get an aliyah. But most of the tzibur would rather not be in shul for an extra hour. And, you know, they voted against the Ramah. Right? The Ramah quotes, the Ramah says, yeah, but, you know, the majority wins. They voted. So I said, if that's true, I said, the women are going to be dancing with the Torahs next year in that shul. So I was wrong. They were dancing with the Torahs that year, right? not the following year, but that year. Because again, I'm not getting into the halachic basis or not basis. It's just that there's a certain attitude that we have to have to our Mesorah. And so even to minhagim, right? The Rambam says that minhagim are included in losasor, included in the din d'oraisa, listening to the rabbis. So before we play around with any minhag, again, if there's a minhag up against another halacha, so you might say, oh, but this is a minhag of 500 years ago, 500 years old at least, the Rambam quotes. Before we mess around with any minhag of Klal Yisrael, we have to be very careful. So again, that's what this, this Rav Asher Weiss, the Menachas Asher, says at the end, I'm willing to say, you can take the Torah out at the end, that's fine, but it has to be done in a way where people don't get the wrong idea. People don't get the wrong idea. It happens to be, we're going to go through, I hope, later in the year, but Hashem will have a shiur, probably a Monday afternoon shiur, about a wedding. Going through everything of a wedding, start to finish, you know, all the different customs have been hugging. So that's also an area where, you know, there's people have tried to do surgery on certain menhagim at weddings, adding in some and taking away some. We have to be very careful because every minhag goes back thousands of years and is very important. Just wait 1 second. Just hold on 1 second.
Yeah, this recording's not going out the way you throw it with all this hacking in the back. And it's like peanut gallery.
It's like commentary. You know, like that, like movies with like the commentary in the background? It's just like shit with the commentary in the background.
Oh, the recording's just on us.
Yeah, we're saying after the chat.
I'm saying they can hear everything we're saying.
For the browser chat.
I'm saying we're not.
And Ariel Kruger, because they promised him or told him.
Yeah, someone have me to the browser chat?
Yeah, I got it.
We put this. I don't know if we put this in KY.
Obviously not. Why would I do that?
We'll just have to put yes here. And
Trump 2020.
Did you write that?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, somebody had a question. Somebody had a hand up. Yeah, Apple, you had a hand up?
Yeah. What about Simchas Torah? How are you allowed to take the Sefer Torah out to dance? And if so, are you allowed to take it out like after lunch and stuff like that?
If that's considered a Tzorach mitzvah, meaning if it's a Tzorach mitzvah, if there's some type of tzorah, so then there's flexibility. Like again, the taking out the Torah for the bar mitzvah would have practice. So when I was growing up, that was not done. You know, I didn't take out the Torah, nobody was taking it out. But now it's become more common. They take it out. He's more comfortable. He's less nervous. So again, that's a tzorah. That's done in private, and it will be okay. The chiddush here is that you can even do it in tzibur in order to. You know, allow him to feel like he had a bar mitzvah. But again, it's every one of these is a serious issue. Any other questions about that one? About Misora and being kafuf to our Misora. We have to make sure that we do what we can. Okay. Next Shiloh. This is a very serious one. Im Yesh Lispalel Refuas. What if somebody got corona because of their own negligence? Rahman al-Islam, they themselves knew everybody else was taking precautions. They didn't take precautions. They didn't wear a mask. They didn't do anything. And they said, I don't care. I don't care. This is what I'm doing. And they got corona, bipshiutam, and they're very sick now. Is there any issue about davening for them? If somebody themselves does something negligent, and they get ill because of that. And they know they could have gotten ill and they didn't. Is there any problem about davening for them? It's their fault. Now, what do you think?
Doesn't
the Gemara say? Still sick, someone should be able to daven for them.
What do you say?
If someone's sick, you should be able to daven for them. It doesn't really matter how they got it.
I don't hear anything. What do you say? Somebody's sick, you should be able to daven for them. It doesn't matter if it's their fault.
Would it matter that they didn't directly do it? But I mean, they weren't careful about it, but they didn't directly get it. So would that make a difference?
I mean, they knew they were taking a chance. They were not taking precautions.
And it's not their fault. They weren't directly causing themselves harm. They just were doing something that caused them to get it. Yeah. Or were not taking proper precautions to distance themselves from it.
Meaning they didn't directly do something dangerous. Meaning if somebody does a sport that is inherently very dangerous. Yeah. But again, that's also taking a risk. In all these cases, it's taking a risk. So there's a Gemara in Arabic.
Referring to things that you're able to avoid and you're able to make precautions about. It seems like if he doesn't take the proper precautions, it seems like it's his fault and maybe he
would room to it's definitely his fault here. Definitely his fault. Somebody goes out in the cold without a coat. So that is his fault. There's a Gemara in Erevin that talks about, the Gemara says that it's dangerous. Certain type of onions are poisonous. I don't know which type of onion is talking about here. But it says, the guard says, Erevin Haftes. Oyochal Adam Batzal Bebrei Nachash Shebo. It has poison in it. And there was Maisa Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina ate half of an onion. And V'chala V'natalamus. And he was on his deathbed. Ubiksho Chavera V'rachmim Allah V'chaya. His friends davened for him. And he lived. Mipnei Shashat Srichalo. Because the generation needed him. That's the Gemara. I gave a lumdus on the daf shir a couple weeks ago about this Gemara. How do you read that Gemara? It says somebody ate something that was very dangerous. It was like poison, and he ate it anyway on purpose. And his friends davened for him, and he lived because the generation needed him. So what's the diuk of that Gemara? They davened for him only because the nation needed him. But had the nation not needed him, they wouldn't have davened for him? Is that how you read the Gemara? The Ritva there, the Ritva in Erevin Chavdes, the Afal Pi Shekedai Lachuv Ba'atzmo, Sha'abra Al Divrei Chachamim. Even though he basically deserved it. Remember the first parak in Brachas, Rabbi Tarfon. He says, I messed up. I won like Beishamai. Right, so he says here, Kedai Haiti Lachuv Ba'atzmo. Yeah, Chewy.
Rabbi, is it possible to read the Gemara as that's why he was Zocha to live? Now that's why they davened for him?
Ah, beautiful. So that's not how the Ritva reads it. That's not how the Ritva reads it, but yes, we'll get to that in a second. So the Ritva says, sounds like, you know, he deserved. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says, Gorem Rava Atzmo Bechaz Atzmo Bishakona Nisqayim Benafsho. They both sound like it. But yes, Rav Asher Weiss says, Shui, maybe you can read it like you read it. You have to daven, period, even if somebody messed up. If somebody messed up, he messed up. So it's not your job to judge people who messed up or not. Once they're in the situation, you daven. And V'chayek can be going on Hashem's decision. You know, Hashem decided that he should live in Reish HaShat Sri Chalam. But whether he can daven or not, you know, that's the that's something that is for sure. And that's what he says later on in the Tshuva. Again, you can look at the Barapusha, Davi Shenigzer Akzeverik Farnata Lamus, Mikom HaKom Niskabot Tfilasim Reish HaShat Sri Chalam. And he goes, again, there's other sources related to this too. But again, let's say it's a serious question. If somebody messed up, and they're in a difficult situation. What if they messed up financially? And now they want to borrow money from you. You know, that it's not just davening for them. You know, one of your, I don't know, business associates did something really, you know, he went gambling. He wasted his money. He gambled it all away, and then he comes to you for a loan. Like, what do you mean? You messed up. Am I responsible in that situation to give him money? And he promises he's never going to gamble again. He's only going to use it for good things. So in that case, is, you know, what responsibility do I have if somebody got themselves into the situation in the first place? You know, that's not simple. But he says, in this case, you know, it's different. I didn't give you the tshuva, but it's heart-wrenching. He was asked another shayla. I can send you the whole PDF of this, if you want, if you're interested. There was a serious shayla that there was somebody who wasn't feeling well. He got tested, but before he got his results back, he still went to work. You're not allowed to do that. You know, once you get tested, you're not allowed to go anywhere. But he went to work, and he worked in a senior citizen home. And he went there, and 2 days later, he got the results back, and he was positive, so then he started staying home. But he had already infected a couple of people, and some of them died. Rahman al-Islam. And he asks Rav Asher Weiss, how do I do tshuva? And what do I do? And how could I...
Would you be able to do Birchas Kohanim if you're a Kohen?
Great question. Could you do Birchas Kohanim if you're a Kohen in that case? Right, there's a Machlokas Rishonim. Some say even Beshogig you can't do him. Right, like, where do we learn that from? David HaMelech. What did Hashem tell David? You can't build the Beis HaMikdash, but go as you have blood on your hands. David has blood on his hands? He fought the wars for Hashem. He didn't go get do anything wrong. What's the answer? It's not a question of doing anything wrong. Blood on your hands, you're not an Ish Shalom. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo is an Ish Shalom. He can build the Beis HaMikdash. But Davin wasn't. So you do the Arsum Rishonim, that's it. The Shogeg. Rav Avad Yosef has a tshuva. Rahman al-Islan, let's say a Kohen is driving a car and he's in a car accident that somebody in the other car dies. Tilat Aduchin in that case. Serious Shiloh. So Rav Avadya, that tshuva paskins, all depends on the situation. Was he being negligent or not? If he was driving at a crazy pace and he wasn't observing the traffic laws and it's really his fault, then he cannot duchin, he assumes. That's Pshia. If it was Ones, right, the guy jumped in front or it was out of his control, whatever, then he would be able to. So this case wasn't Ones. So that's a serious shaila. How do you do tshuva? So he talks about the various elements there. But again, something that's, you know, it's hard to, you can't bring a wife back. You can't bring a wife. But here, if somebody just got himself sick, so he assumes that would be okay. Okay, two more shilas. I had five, so...
Would that change... In terms of Donovan for throwing, would that change if he was possibly also harming others, if it wasn't just he was being stupid about himself?
He's sitting up there's a window right behind him.
You're being mazik. Yeah, sure, if you're being mazik, like...
You would fill up the Donovan for him.
I don't know. Let's say, if he was mazik someone, now that they're all sick... You probably wouldn't want it coming for him. What about the people who were sick and their families? You know, they're probably not so happy about that. But yeah, that's a more serious child. It's hard to differentiate sometimes between people and their actions. They say sinas chinam, that we hate people instead of just hating their views. It was Wednesday night. I'm sitting in my backyard. Whatever, we had my wife's cousins over for a barbecue. So we're in the backyard, and all of a sudden we hear in the front of the house, we see a big truck with like one of those loudspeaker trucks driving by. So we're like, you know, usually it's like near Ramah Beth. Usually they have these trucks go by to announce the Levias, right, when somebody died, but they were announcing it was a Nachman truck. You ever see those Rabbi Nachman trucks? But they get out and start dancing sometimes on the roof. But it was Rabbi Nachman Shach, and he was saying, you have to get rid of the Sinas Chinam, and we have to come together, we have to have Achlus. That was the whole truck. It was very nice. Just Misalek is the Sinas Chinam, and amazing. Right, you don't have it anywhere else. But that would be a very difficult shiloh. If somebody was Mazik also to daven for them. Maker, I think probably you have to, he's a fellow Jew, but it would be very hard emotionally to do that, and... You know, one would have to separate between, you know, what they did and Dominic Karim as a person, but 100%. Okay, there was a shiloh. When I first heard it, I was like, what? But some shuls did it. Again, this is, again, as with Rosh Hashanah, it's not for now. Are you allowed to cover the chauffeur end with a mask to block germs from going out when you blow it?
I saw people do it like trumpets.
Any of your shuls do this? Back at home, did you hear anybody do this? It was asked by many. I'm on a WhatsApp group with Rav from America. This was a big thing. This was a big thing about covering the chauffeur because, you know, all the saliva and the germs go out. Right, unless you get a Baltokeya who had corona already. That's, 2 weeks ago. But this was the Shiloh that was asked.
You can't, like, surround it with, plastic.
Okay, so that's one option. Surrounded with plastic, stand far away. And those are the options that you could use. What about per se covering the end of the chauffeur? Is that a problem?
As long as we hear the sound, what would be the problem?
It's sound. Sound goes through masks.
Anybody else?
With a mask.
Are you allowed to put like a coating around the chauffeur, like silver or gold around the chauffeur? Would that be a problem, like adding something onto the chauffeur?
Excellent. So in this tshuva, he says there's three issues. He says number one, the issue of putting anything that the Gemara talks about going to chauffeur into a bar. Says, are you hearing a chauffeur? You're hearing the echo of a chauffeur. That's shiloh number one. So covering the chauffeur, he said he tested it out. Does not change the call at all. Yeah, the same exact call. He closed his eyes. He said he listened to a few times with, without. You can't tell the difference between it covered. So A, it's not an echo, and B, it's the sound of the chauffeur itself. But then the third thing is, the Gemara talks about making your shofar gold, making your shofar beautiful in that case. So then the question is, does that affect? So he says, I got to go in 2 minutes. He says, even the coverings for the shofar, it had to do with A, changing the sound, and B, being a chatzitza between you and the shofar. And if it's not a chatzitza, you're putting the mask or something on the other end, not the end that touches your mouth. The end that touches your mouth has to be directly touching the mouth. But because it's on the other end and it doesn't change anything, it's okay. But, like you wrote in the other tshuva, I'd rather, if possible, not change anything in the tradition, in the Mesorah. So it's best just to have the guy stand far away from everybody, blow out a window. The other things that you don't have to change the tzura of how the shofar is being blown. So he says, Maker did his mutter, but he'd be more comfortable doing the other, with any of the other options. Okay. One thing he did talk about, in many shuls now they have a plastic between the Ola and the Balkore. Is there any issue of the Ola not exactly being able to see the words of the Torah when he gets the Aliyah? Was that the sign? That's something that we have to be worried about? Rav Sternbach in Yerushalayim had an amazing psak in the time months ago. He said, as long as you can see the Torah from far away, even if you're on a merpeset on the third floor, you can get an Aliyah. That was a very big surprise. All the other poskim said, come on the three floors away. But many said that as long as you're right there, but often you can't exactly see the words. But the minhag is that's okay. After all, we give somebody who's blind an aliyah, maker hadin, even if you can't see the words. So again, that's I get the shayla often. You do the best you can. You try to follow along. Sometimes it's behind plastic and it gets fogged up and you can't see it well. But that's the that's what's done in the minhag today. Okay, one other I gave you here in again, you have all of these shubits which we're not reading all inside on the sheet that I sent you. He has a shiloh that he was asked for Yom Kippur time. There's a famous story, but there's just two different versions of the story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Right, there was some type of cholera epidemic in Salant, where he was at the time. And Joseph Salanter said, at that time, there was a terrible plague. He said, even if you feel healthy, you have to eat on Yom Kippur, right? Because your body is not going to be strong enough to fight the disease. And he, and the different versions, some say, and he himself went on Yom Kippur to the Bima and made Kiddush and ate on Yom Kippur to show everybody that this is what you do. So some asked, maybe we should do that too. Maybe we should, to make sure the body stays strong in our, against the disease, against the virus, maybe we should tell everybody to eat on Yom Kippur, right? Or to violate other Isurim. Right, so how do you answer that question? The answer is no, but how would you answer it? The answer is no, what would you say?
Does it depend on the disease? I mean, for many people, especially
I lost you at the end, but I think. Right, so I think it's definitely, it depends.
Not eating for one day.
It seems like that disease was much more serious by not eating. The postkim assumed, in our day, that
on the disease.
In this situation. Yes.
And the person.
In this situation, it wasn't a blanket answer. In this situation, and he goes through different versions of the story, whether he really made Kiddush, do you make Kiddush if you don't Yom Kippur? But we discussed that, if you remember, in Ashir, is it Shabbos Yom Kippur? Is it Shabbos Yom Kippur? Right, hyphenated or comma. But he assumed that that was a different type of disease, and you can't, and this is important, you can't bring Rias from every story and every situation to, years later. The Mishnah Berurah talks about wearing masks. Mr. Berurah in one place talks about wearing masks. He had an epidemic in his day. And I argued before there, it became anger at an epidemic. Rahmanul Islam, there have been situations in life that there were difficulties, meaning you could compare everyone to the other. And that's an important yisod I just wanted to just maybe reflect on regarding all these tshuvas. Regarding all these tshuvas. It's amazing that the Torah has something to say about everything. And the Torah can be applied in every situation. Rav Soloveitchik once said, they say that if it was up to him, he would write a 14th Ani Mamin. A 14th Ani Mamin. Ani Mamin Memunah Shleima, that the Torah is applicable and Chai V'Kayam in every generation, no matter what. No matter what generation you're in, and you think it's so modern, it's so technologically advanced, and so this, Torah is outdated and old and archaic. I don't know. Ani Mamin Memunah Shleima, the Torah can be applied in every generation, and it's up to the Gedolei Yisrael to figure out how to apply it. And as so you think about all the different shilas that have come up, you know, regarding Zoom, regarding illness, regarding, we didn't get some of the tragic shilas in terms of burial. You know, you don't want to bury somebody in Eretz Yisrael, but you can't get there, so you're going to bury, how do you bury them the first time? So many shilas that come up, but the Torah has something to say about every shilah. And that's something that we have to, you know, look at and be inspired with. Right? The, you guys with me?
Right, yeah, we're
there's a. I think Rabbi Jonathan Sachs once commented. He said, "It's amazing. You look at just for example, he said the American Constitution. There are a constitution and there are amendments. There has to be an amendment. Is the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, all these amendments? Why are there amendments? Yeah. Because you know it gets outdated, and you have to change it, and you have to do new things because there are new situations, and therefore you have to make amendments." The Torah has no amendments. We just interpret the Torah from thousands of years ago to the situation today. And it's just an amazing power and magic of the Torah. The Torah is Chai V'Kayam. It's perfect, and it applies even Bizman Hazeh in every situation in life, in every generation. The Torah can be applied in happy situations, in difficult situations, but that is the Torah. Okay, just leave you with one thought on the Parsha. Maybe the thought of Parsha, which maybe you've heard before, but it's really the Rechinach on this week's Parsha. But the question is, if you use this, if you ever have to speak at a bris or a shalom zachar or something of the like. The first words we say at a bris when the baby comes in, this week is bris milah, that's the mitzvah. The first words we say are the first psukim in Parsha's Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Yeshivas HaMasim, Yehavdei Bnei Yisrael. Question is, what does Pinchas have to do with the bris? They say that Pinchas was Eliyahu, and Eliyahu comes to every bris, right? So what exactly, still, what is the connection between a bris milah and Pinchas? Question one. Question
two. I'm not like one person, it's not going well.
The Gemara in Chagiga says that is Shakai. Everybody froze. Everybody with me?
Yeah, we're here.
You can hear me? The name of Bris Milah is associated with the name of Hashem is associated with Bris Milah is Shakai. Sha'amar la'olam dai. But Hashem has said to the world that this is enough. This is what I'm creating. And the question is, what does that mean? Why is Shakai the name of Hashem that's associated with Bris Milah? So it's a beautiful Sefer Achidah. You never saw it in this week's parsha. But the Sefer Achinah, the Medrash asks one of the Hashem did an amazing job when he creates a baby. He made everything. He makes hearts and livers and kidneys and lungs and arteries and capillaries and everything. Why didn't he just finish the job? Why did he leave the foreskin? Why did he just finish the job? And the answer given is to teach us about self-perfection. Hashem does so much for us, but then the last step we have to do. The last step is up to us. To teach us, just like we can self-perfect our physical bodies, so too we can self-perfect our spiritual bodies, our spiritual neshamas, and everything in life. That's the message of Bris Milah, self-perfection. Hashem does so much and then steps away and says, okay, you finish the job. That's Shakai. Sha'amar la'olam dai. Hashem says, die. I did enough here. This is it. And the rest is up to you. And that's Pinchas. Rashi, at the beginning of Pinchas, says, what's Pinchas? Hashem says, I could have punish Cosby and Zibri, but I'm staying on the side. I want somebody else to do it for me. I want somebody else to finish the job. I want somebody else to conquer. That's Pinchas, that's Shakai, and that's the message of the Sefer Chinuch. We teach the child and we teach ourselves, right, on day 8 of his life, the message of self-perfection, of completing the job, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does so much that then we have to take it to the next level. Shkoya, guys, have an amazing Shabbos. Everybody enjoy the Parshia while you're here in Eretz Yisrael. Enjoy, have a great Shabbos.